Hallelujah. All right, let's go to our scriptures today. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. We're starting a series called United House or Divided House. And we're going to read from verse 20. All right, let's read this. Then the multitude came together again, so they could not as so much as eat bread. So Jesus comes to this small town, goes into the house, and the house becomes packed with people. All right? And so they can't even eat. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. So Jesus was accused of being out of his mind. So if you ever are accused of being out of your mind, you're not the only one. Son of God was accused of being crazy. He's out of his mind. Why? Because he was casting out evil spirits. Right? He was casting out evil spirits and they were saying, what is going on? We've never seen anything like this in the temple. Pharisees never seen anything like that. And so they say, he's crazy. Look what he's doing. Whenever he's close people, they start acting weird. Right? And so they send for his parents. Here's the 30-year-old guy, my age, and they send for his mom and say, Mom, come get him. He's going, he's losing it. He's going out of his mind. Okay, you're okay then. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has a Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. By the ruler of demons, he's casting out demons. By the ruler of demons, he's casting out demons. So he called them to himself and said to them a parable. How can Satan cast out Satan? Now, Beelzebub was a demon, prince of demon. And the question is, how did he get a name like that? A prince of flies, actually. Yeah, that's right. He was a prince of flies. How did a demon, prince of demon, get a name like that? Have you ever wondered about it? Maybe because somebody seen a manifestation of him in that way. You know the horror movies. How many of you have seen horror movies and they use flies as demons? You think that was that they just made it up? That's from the Bible right here. Beelzebub means, if you were to say fast, prince of flies, that's what Beelzebub means. Prince of flies in Hebrew or whatever the language. Maybe Greek, I don't know. Didn't research it. So demons sometimes look like flies. Okay? You don't have to be afraid of demons if you're a Christian. Amen. Do you remember I said, just as your body gets attacked by viruses, by bacteria, right? Those little things, but a lot of them attack your body and make it sick. So does your spiritual body. So a spiritual body could get attacked with something in a form of flies. But spiritually speaking, that's what demons are. I believe demons are different than fallen angels. Okay? And so, interestingly, that they accuse him of casting out demons with a demon. And Jesus calls him to himself. So there's a crowd. Imagine this. Jesus is preaching, the house is packed, the whole front yard is filled with people, and there's these Pharisees who came from Jerusalem talking to people. I think he's demon-possessed. Look, he's casting out demons. I think he's demon-possessed. And so Jesus does something out of ordinary, and look what he does. And he called them to himself. So he says, hey, you Pharisees up there in the back, stop messing with my crowd. Yeah, come over here. I'm going to tell you a story. And listen to what he says to them. He called them to himself and told them this parable. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, he's divided. He cannot stand, but his end is near. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless first he binds the strong man and then he plunders his house. So watch what Jesus is saying. If Satan is divided, his kingdom is done. If a house is divided, that house cannot stand. And if the kingdom is divided, that kingdom cannot stand. Now, we see this a lot happening in a third world country. When two leaders arise and they divide the nation, and one becomes stronger, becomes dictator, what happens to that nation? That nation is impoverished and war-stricken. That nation falls apart. The people are suffering. People are hurting in that nation. Correct? And so Jesus said, whatever you divide, it loses its power. Whatever you unite becomes very powerful. Do you know that raising, being a father and raising children is a hard job? And it's hard to raise children. But imagine raising children when mom and dad are divided, not on one page. It's impossible. Wise man said this. Two things you need to know about women. And then he says, but nobody knows what it is. Sometimes my wife and I have been married for a long time, for almost 11 years. That's a long time. Yeah. And to compare to our world standards, it's a long time. But sometimes we clash on raising our children. And you know who suffers? Our children. Right? And so sometimes we have to get together and say, okay, let's agree on something. How are we going to unite on this in raising our children? Yesterday, I was teaching my kids to play piano and drums together. You know, usually I teach Alex to play piano. He's good at that. And, you know, by himself. And then Abby's kind of good on drums. You'd be surprised, Andre. Yeah, she is. She's kind of good on drums. But putting them together, like he's playing his rhythm and she's playing her rhythm, you know, and it's like, they were driving me insane yesterday. And so I kind of got a little, you know, irritated. And my wife, I could see that. And I could see her in the kitchen. I know she doesn't like my methods of teaching them and stuff. And I could see we're divided already. Sometimes she does something and maybe I don't like how she, you know, disciplines our children or whatever. And we would have arguments about that. And imagine if we didn't solve them, our kids would kind of have to be raised on their own. And so we always have to come back and say, hey, we got to do something about this. We got to solve this. How are we going to raise our kids? So we have one method. We don't want to be divided. We want to be united. No one person has ever achieved anything of any significance by himself or by herself. You know, first man on the moon didn't get there by himself. It took hundreds and thousands of people to get him there. Your favorite player, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay. He didn't get there by himself to the Super Bowl, the belt. He didn't get there by himself. He needed a team of players and coaches and owners and money to get him to the Super Bowl. Nobody ever achieves anything of any significance by themselves. You know, business and big corporation, they hire people to build unity in their organization because they know if you cannot build unity, our organization will not work. Unity is an important factor if you want to achieve anything of greatness. I want you to open your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 11. I'm going to go through a few more verses. And this is a story where they're trying to build a big city and a tower that reaches the heaven. Do you remember that story? So these people got together, and verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4 says this. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are united. The people are one. Say one. The people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. The people are one, and nothing that they have imagined to do will be withheld from them. That's the power of unity. If you want to achieve anything of great significance, they were doing something that was bad. They were trying to build a tower that reaches the heaven and say, there is no God. You know, but even in that, God said, although they were doing something evil, yet because they were so united, nothing will be withheld from them. If you are one, if your family is one, nothing will be, no devil can come and destroy you. If our church is one, we have one vision, no demon in hell can come between us and stop us from doing something great. Because by ourselves, we make small significance. But when we unite together, we make great achievements. A church cannot succeed just with a pastor. It takes the whole body united together. And you know what? When Jesus, in famous prayer, John chapter 17, he said, Father, just like as I, you and I are one, make them one. That's what he was talking about. Because when we are one, nothing will be impossible. Listen, I'm talking about in general, but you can apply it to your general situation. To your specific situation. You can apply it to your home. You can apply it to your relationships. You can apply it to your business. If you want to achieve anything of greatness, make sure that you build unity first. Without unity, great things fall apart. Have you ever liked a band? And they were an awesome band, and then when they fell apart, they just didn't produce as good of a stuff. In the 90s, I loved this band. It was a Christian band called DC Talk. You remember that band? I mean, they rocked. They were Christian, and yet they were secular, and it was like cool. And what happened was, they suddenly announced that they're breaking up. They're falling apart. And so they all started producing their own CDs, their own records, and things like that. And they just never got to the level that they were before they broke up. Maybe you've seen great families who were just perfect, and then because they were disunified, they fell apart. Maybe you've seen businesses because of two partners arguing, fighting with one another, fall apart. And we all have seen nations because of two leaders who were like brothers in the beginning, started fighting each other, and the nation fell apart. And Jesus is teaching here the principles of unity. He says, if you are disunified, you cannot stand. You know, God has given us this great vision to bring people who are far from God closer to Jesus. And if we don't unify around that vision, we cannot. Many people will go to hell in this city because they won't know Jesus. But if we unify in that vision, we can bring many people who are kind of far from God into relationship with Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Jesus compared united house to a strong man who cannot be plundered. Let me explain it to you in our language, in today's language. Who is a strong man? Jesus compared united house to a strong man that cannot be plundered. United house, like that, in today's language, is the house that has top-notch security, who has police presence around it. No regular criminal would ever attempt to rob a house that has top-notch security system. Not unless you're on TV and you're making a movie, you know, Ocean 11 or whatever. but in most cases, you wouldn't want to attack a house or try to rob a house that has a strong man in it. A strong system, a protection. That would be foolish. So Jesus says, if your house is united, that's like having a strong security system around it. In the old days, it's like having impenetrable walls built around your city. When you and your wife are united, that's like having a big wall around you. And the devil cannot come in and steal. As soon as you begin to be divided, He comes in and starts messing with you. Starts to take your money. Start to mess with your children. Start to mess with your mind even. Amen. Regular thief. And who is our thief? He came to steal, kill, and to destroy. He would never, if you're united, he will not touch you until he can first divide you. See, Satan is weak. When you are united, he cannot do anything to you. First, he tries to divide. That's why division is so, should be disliked by every person here. Because division is negative. We know D. A lot of things that start with D. Right? Division. Now, a divided house, Jesus said, is like a bank that has a security guard who has been tied to a telephone pole. Imagine this. In front of the building, a great big bank has lots of money. And you see a security guard is tied around the telephone pole in front of it. And he's being scared. Jesus said, first, you don't go to a bank and try to a house and try to rob it until you first tie the strongman, the security guard, the protector, right? So what Satan wants to do, he wants to separate us, then tie us up, and then he could take whatever he wants. So whenever you think about division, just think about this picture, the picture that Jesus drew for us. He said, Satan likes to tie a strongman and then take whatever he wants. Jesus uses the same principle. Because in this story, Jesus is tying the strong man and then plunders his house. Right. So the same principle works. Any stupid criminal would walk in, if a security guard is tied, could walk in into your vault and take whatever he wants. That's what a divided house is. If the house is divided, the devil will steal children, will steal your money. If a house will be united, he cannot come in between us. Listen, there's a lesson today. I don't know, maybe before, we were okay with division. From today, the Spirit of God is in this place to teach us and to set us free. From this day on, I'm sick and tired of devil stealing things from us. I'm sick and tired of him destroying our families, stealing our finances. He should be bound, not us. We want him bound, not us. Amen. Now, the question is, next question is, why are we so afraid of unity? Do you know that people today are afraid of unity? We're so afraid of losing our independence that we keep the distance. We're so afraid of losing the diversity that we fight against unity. Really, a lot of people are against unity these days. But do you know the universe, the word universe, comes from two words. Unity and diversity. How cool is that? How big is this universe and everything in it? Notice how diverse it is, and yet it is what? United. You know, our nation is big on diversity, and I'm all for diversity. But if you just produce diversity without unity, what happens? Everybody is individual, and everybody's hating each other deeply inside. Yeah, I'm diverse, and you're diverse. I respect your diversity. But the point is to bring unity into diversity. And only one can do that. We need to have something that unites us. Somebody said a story that if you tune 1,000 pianos to one fork, tuning fork, they will all play the same. But if you tune every piano to each other, by the time you get to 1,000, they will be so out of tune that you will close your ears. So we need something, one thing to be united. You cannot just say, let's have diversity, but where's the unity? We need someone. And that's Jesus Christ. And you know what? The world is waiting for their own Christ to unite around. We got diversity. Now we need somebody to bring unity. And we know who that's going to be. You want me to say it? It's going to be Antichrist. Because right now Christ is in the world. People who don't unite to Christ, to the fork of Christ, will unite to the fork of Antichrist. That's just simple. We got diversity. Now the world is crying for unity. Make sure you are united with Christ, not Antichrist. Since we were little kids, we've been told that you're unique, you're special. And sometimes we're afraid of unity. Or we want everybody to unite towards me. I want you all to unite towards me. But it doesn't work that way. What's the golden rule? Whatever you want people to do unto you, do unto others. That's the golden rule. So you cannot want people to celebrate you, but you're not celebrating anybody. You cannot want people to praise you, but you don't praise anybody. Competing with everybody. You don't want people, you want people to thank you, but you're not thankful. You want people to say, oh, nice shoes, but you don't tell anybody nice shoes. You see what I mean? Whatever you want done unto you, do unto others. Because that's the law and the prophets. Unity is a big deal. New Life Church, we're going somewhere. There's half of this city who are not regular attenders of a church and probably are far from God. Over 70,000 people need Jesus in this city. And if we don't unite, we will not achieve anything. And I know that our group here is diverse. Aren't we? We got Ukrainians, we got Africans, we got Americans, obviously, a lot. We got mixed and everything. I mean, we got everything here. Unless we unite over one vision of Jesus Christ and His purpose to win the loss, what are we doing here? We just come together. We're a club. And God wants us to be a church, a body of Christ, His hands and His feet. So how do we achieve unity? Coming to the end. Unity is not something achieved if you just leave it up to chance. Like I said, great businesses hire people to make sure that they have unity. They don't leave it up to chance. Coaches in NFL and NBA, they hire speakers to come in and bring people together. It's not something just going to happen because naturally we as people, we want to scatter. In Genesis over here, look at this. Some leader, there was one leader there. Bible doesn't say who he was. But he noticed this. He said, people are scattering. We got to have one vision. Because if we don't, they will scatter all over the earth. And we don't want them to scatter. You see what I mean? He says, let us build a city and a skyscraper that touches the heaven. Then people will be united over it. So notice, a leader knew what to do and how to bring unity. He said, let us do something together. Let us have common vision. Your house, your family, your business needs to have common vision, the same vision. So people can unite with it. It takes a lot of effort to build unity. So families, please don't leave it up to chance. As a church, we're not just saying, oh, it's automatic. No, it's not automatic. Naturally, we're selfish people. And what do we want to do? Each wants to pull his own way. Each wants to go whatever they want to go. But God has given us a big vision to reach people who are hurting and bring them closer to Jesus, who can heal them, who can change their lives, who can give them a great future. Amen. Say amen. I'm preaching today. So everybody has to take full responsibility.
When my wife and I wouldn't agree on something, we had to sit down and say, okay, so what are we going to do? How are we going to raise our children? Because naturally, we're different people. We're going to clash. Husband and wife, naturally, are going to clash probably on how to raise, you know, one is strict, one is kind of lenient. But it doesn't work that way. And the Bible says this, can two go without agreeing? A principle. No, you cannot do something without agreeing. So if you want to build successful organizations, successful businesses, successful families, if we want to build a successful church, we have to build unity. And it's each and every one of our responsibility to do that, to bring unity. Do you know that you don't need unity much if you are not trying to achieve anything? If you're not going anywhere in life, you don't need unity. If everybody's sitting and watching TV, you don't really need unity. But really, if we're not going anywhere, we really don't need unity. Right? If we're just sticking around. But as soon as you bring purpose into something, everybody will have their own opinion. But listen, you shouldn't be afraid of unity because you have your own opinion. Universe is so diverse, and yet it's united. We can be united. And you know what unites us? The love of Jesus. Nobody here ever unites here based on theology. Do you know that everyone here has some differences in our theology? Our philosophies are different. But we don't unite based on what we disagree on. We unite based on what we agree on. Me and my wife don't agree 100%. We actually disagree a lot. If you are close to us, you know that. But one thing that unites us is the love. It's the love of God. We will never agree on every little details. And, you know, it shocks me how sometimes when we get together, we start discussing how different we are. Even when Christians get together, they start finding, so what's different about us? How about finding what's similar about us? God said this, people who are united will achieve anything they can imagine. That's a principle. If we unite together, we will reach this city and win thousands of people for Jesus. If you and your wife will unite together, you'll have a great marriage and you'll raise great children. Amen? If your business will be united, your business will do great things. Do you see how important it is? Nobody ever achieves anything on their own. I know this. I didn't achieve what I achieved by myself. There was all these people. This church is not where it is today because of me or Tanya. It's because of all these people coming together and uniting around one vision. And trust me, we argue, we debate, but we love. We don't challenge the love. We love each other. Last point, and we're done. If you want unity, you need vision. Family, what does that mean? Vision could be, we want to raise godly children. That could be your vision. Business, you could unite and say, we want to be a business that gives so much money to our community and to missions and things like that. A vision. Church needs to have a vision. Bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. That's our vision. When they were building a tower, the people didn't just stick around for nothing. They had one common vision. Let's build us a city. Spirit of God is in this place today. He's speaking today to you. Don't be afraid of unity. Because you might lose your diversity or independence. No, that's not what it is. Build unity in your home. Build unity in your church. Fight gossip. Psalm 33 says, how good and how pleasant for brethren to be in unity. You know that verse? In the last verse, I'm just going to read it to you. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Jerusalem. For there the Lord commands the blessing and life forevermore. When you are united, God says, I command my blessing on you. But if you're divided, God says, I can't bless that because the devil is going to steal anyway. Whatever I give you, he's going to take. So why should I even bless you? Listen to this again. It's like the dew. Imagine in a desert when the dew falls in the morning or at night. It refreshes everything. Unity refreshes everything. And then unity attracts the blessing of God. This unity attracts demons who come in and steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe you're divided even in your mind. Bible says that man will not receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded man, am I right? James will not receive anything from the Lord. So you, maybe it's in your mind. Maybe it's unity just in your mind. Get it together. Stop changing your mind all the time. And God says, I'm going to pour out my blessing on you. And I just feel the presence of God in this place to bring unity into our church, into your families, into your relationships.